click kaya959.co.za
to download the Kaya Biz podcast.
If there's anything we've been paying careful attention to in the last few weeks, it has to be South Africa's trade relationship with the United States. And over the last 24 hours, we've received news from the DTIC that they are looking to renegotiate with the United States regarding our tariff agreement. Outside of that, though, the United States Census Bureau's latest data on international trades and goods and services shows that South Africa's exports to the country plummeted after the tariffs were announced. So where does that leave us? What does it mean, especially for key sectors of South Africa's economy in agriculture, auto, and in the Western Cape? To tell us more about this, we're joined by a good guest and a friend of the show, Donald McKay, the CEO of XA Global Trade Advisors. Always a pleasure to have you with us, Mr. McKay.
Hello.
Fantastic. I guess first things first, we have spoken about this over the last few months and taking a look at the challenges that we'll likely experience regarding the tariffs. But I'm quite keen just to get your analysis and perspective of the data we see coming out of the United States Census Bureau, essentially confirming what we feared, but also what we've known.
Yeah, I, of course, one can now get into quite a lot of trouble in the U.S. if you put out statistics the president doesn't like.
Yeah.
But yes, I think we're seeing roughly what was anticipated, and I suspect this trend will probably continue for a while. The U.S. has made itself quite unattractive to invest in, I think. Mm.
Definitely. We are seeing this, and I guess this will be a trend that we do see right across the spectrum. As has been listed, this does come on the back of the tariff announcement. So again, I guess no surprises here, as again, it is impacting several sectors that do rely quite heavily on our positive trade relationship with the U.S. I'm quite keen to understand, you know, your assessment of the data in correlation to what you hear from clients on the ground.
Yeah, so probably the most startling piece of data I came across was due to our own calculations. And when we have a look at all of the tariffs that have been put in place, not just the reciprocal tariffs, but also the Section 232 tariffs on steel, cars, aluminium, and copper, there are six companies that will bear 50% of the brunt of all of this. And so that's a relatively small number. They will take a very, very hard hit. But for the rest of it, the effect is quite dispersed. Mm. So it's certainly not good, but it's not as bad, I guess, as we had originally feared. The other big number we've seen is everyone has talked about the massive drop-off in the export of our cars to the U.S.
Yes.
And this is true, but it's got to be put into the greater context of how much overall has our trade in cars actually dropped off. And what we find here is, yes, there has been a drop off, but it's come on the back of a very large surge in anticipation, I think, of President Trump imposing duties. And so overall, we still have the second best year of exporting cars to the world that we've had in the last decade. Mm-hmm. So we've lost to the U.S., but overall, our volume of cars to the world has not been anywhere near as bad as we had anticipated.
Got you. So it almost sounds as though the U.S. is the sore spot, but the rest of the world offering some favor in terms of exports there. Looking at the data coming out of the U.S., I do see that our exports of poles, precious metals, and precious stones also fell significantly from $401 million in June, given what we previously saw of $3 billion in February. So despite the resource sector having some exemptions, does seem as though there are certain commodities that are already feeling the pinch too.
Yeah, I'd not read too much into a single month's trade. Mm-hmm. I think what we need to do is take a look at this over the next few months. You can have quite a lot of noise in any given month. I'd be more interested in what happens over the next 6 to 8 months. If that trend continues, I'd be very surprised if it did.
Mm-hmm. 6 to 8 months is quite a while. That also disrupts planning for a lot of exporters. They typically hedge their currencies, place their orders in time in order to get to certain destinations. Does this just add to the level of anxiety that you're hearing from your clients?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, what people want is certainty. And in some ways, you can almost breathe a sigh of relief that we now know we're at 30%. It's not great, but it's a lot better than just not knowing. So people can now decide what they are going to do in a way that they couldn't just a little while ago.
Are you finding that clients are looking for additional markets or new markets to export to? And if so, do we know where?
Yeah, so that depends a lot on the product. And absolutely, people are trying to de-risk from the US. That's a lot harder than the government makes it seem when they say, you know, all you need to do is find other markets. You can find other markets, but typically the problem is that there are not other markets that will pay as well as the US. Mm. So it's not just a question of finding another place to sell your stuff to, but finding a place that would pay an equal amount to the US, I think therein is a big problem. Mm-hmm. But certainly there has been a pivot. We've seen some products shift more to Europe. Europe is still a very accommodating market for us. There's a drive to get more into China. I think that's going to be really, really difficult. The president keeps telling us to look towards Africa. I think that's going to be really tough as well. Mm. So, you know, this is a long-term strategy. This is not something that's going to help anyone in the very short term.
And maybe if we can cast a light on looking at the north of our borders and the rest of the continent, this has typically been advised and I guess a key theme, especially if we look at the Africa Continental Free Trade Area Agreement. It's been ratified by a large number of states on the continent. But the key theme to moving goods is infrastructure. And this is typically some of the work that you're in when it comes to guiding or advising clients, if I'm correct.
That's right. So Africa is cursed with probably the worst geography in the world. So it's just genuinely difficult to move things inside the continent. And that's just kind of natural problems. We have no navigable rivers from the ocean. We have almost no really good rail infrastructure. So there are lots and lots of problems in just getting things moved within Africa. And then that's before you count the effect of, for example, the terrible conflicts that are going on in countries like Sudan. And so there are lots and lots of problems in Africa that are not just related to tariffs. And I would argue far more difficult problems to solve than simply lowering tariffs, which I don't think is the big reason Africa doesn't trade.
100%. Heavy capital is required in order to ensure that we have the necessary bulk infrastructure, development infrastructure that also comes with a multiplier effect. But speaking of routes and I guess ways of moving goods and services from across the world, just earlier this week as well, an interesting article came out regarding shipping companies Maersk and MSC, who have previously jointly operated direct shipments from South Africa to the US. We understand that this collaboration ended back in 2023. It was extended, but now Maersk is actually looking to pull back from the route entirely. Does this, I guess, help us contextualize, I guess, the importance of this route, and most importantly, if this adds further pressure to the trade ties and movement of goods and services from South Africa to the United States?
Yeah, it's certainly not a good thing. To be clear, we still have MSC who will be offering direct shipping. Maersk will now transship through Europe. I think it's just a bad coincidence that this happens at the same time as the US is imposing all of their tariffs. I'm not sure it's directly connected. But yes, for cargo that is time sensitive, having only one potential supplier is certainly, you know, service provider is certainly worse than having more than one. So think of things like fresh fruit, vegetables, mm-hmm. automotive components, etc. This will not be good. I think for some of it, the effect is not going to be as large as we think. For time critical products, it's an issue. But I would think by transshipping through Europe, in fact, for many companies, that shipping cost might actually drop. So if you're prepared to wait longer, you may not have to pay quite as much as you used to beforehand. But certainly it's not a good thing. Absolutely not.
Definitely not. We'll give it the next few months and continue touching base until then, just to get some clarity on these dynamics. But always a pleasure speaking to you, Mr. McKay.
You're welcome. Have a good evening.
Thank you. Donald McKay joining us from XA Global Trade Advisors.
Kaya Biz with Gugule Tumfuphi, Monday to Thursday, 6 to 8 p.m. on Kaya 959.
Click kaya959.co.za
to download the Kaya Biz podcast.